Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Ampod Metal Special.
We'll be right back.
first track that you heard there was the classic Angel of Death, which was released on Slayer's seminal third album, Rain and Blood, which was released in 1986 and still sounds amazing today, 27 years later. This album and this band has had a massive influence on everything that followed, and I don't think that Slayer has quite been able to do, outdo this album in sheer ferocity and musicmanship, although I'm a massive fan of God Hates Us All. The whole album is 29 minutes long, and is played at an average of 210 beats per minute, which is ludicrously fast. Slayer are a band from California, who formed when Kerry King, the guitarist, and a drummer named Dave Lombardo met and decided to form a band. This particular album is heavily influenced by the atrocities committed by Joseph Mengele, and this particular track is named for him. Most of this album and most of Slayer's songs were written by Jeff Hanneman, who sadly died this year, and is still up in the air as to whether they're going to stay together. I'm gutted that I never got to see them live with Jeff, and I was gutted by his death, but it did make me go back and listen to their back catalogue, and he categorically was one of the best metal songwriters out there. I couldn't think of a better opener to this podcast, and that weird high-pitched scream that Tom Araya does at the reopening of the song just makes you want to go, fuck yeah, Slayer. Yeah, welcome to a very special episode of Ampod, and thank you very much for listening in. If you're adverse to metal, I suggest that you at least try and listen, or if not, switch off straight away. For those who are staying, the usual applies. There might be swearing on the tracks, and I definitely swore before, so if you don't like bad language, it's best to listen to something else. And apart from that, we're going to be taking a journey through the wonderful world of metal. I started, like most people, on rock, and then heard about progressively harder bands, and I'm a massive metal fan now. I know a lot of people who don't listen to metal, and can't understand why I do, and I basically state that appreciation of metal makes you more open to other types of music. So, I think it makes you appreciate a wider palette. When I started doing this podcast, I was putting metal in, but people didn't like it, so I took it off. So I've been gagging to do this for quite a while. So, without further ado, it's best to just get on with it. The next track I'm going to play is the now classic Blood and Thunder by Mastodon, which came off their second album, Leviathan, which came out in 2004, and is a concept album loosely based around Moby Dick. They are a four-piece from Atlanta, Georgia, and they met at a High on Fire show in 2000 and released their first album 2 years later. This is the first song I heard by them, and this is the first album, and it's just astonishing. When it came out, I think everyone in metal got a big kick up the arse as they were setting the standard of what metal was at the time, and they're now one of the biggest metal bands that we have. I've seen them 3 or 4 times now, and they never disappoint as they're incredible, so let's crack on.
Thank you.
The track that followed Mastodon was Nurse, Would You Please Prep the Patient for Sexual Doctor, which was by Daughters and released on their debut album, Canada Songs, which was released in 2001. They were a four-piece who made some really nasty grind, and after this album they kind of went a bit weirder with a singer not screaming, but singing kind of like a very drunk Elvis, which, if anything, just made it even more unnerving. I've featured these guys on the main podcast before in a very roundabout way, but the guitarist for Daughters is now in a band called Fang Island, who play guitar pop, so very different, but they broke up after their third album in 2010 due to musical differences, but had a couple of reunion shows this year, and by all accounts their live shows were completely insane. The next track I'm playing is Surprise, You're Dead by Faith No More, which came off their fantastic third album, The Real Thing, which was released back in 1989, and this is the first album to feature Mike Patton as their lead vocalist. I didn't even realise that there was actually someone before Mike. They originally formed in San Francisco, but have had a rolling number of musicians to the point where it's difficult to keep up. But originally, they officially disbanded in 1998, but reformed in 2009 to play some shows for a few years. Their strange mix of funk, punk, metal, and a myriad of different music genres paved the way for other artists to be more alternative, and pretty much influenced their contemporaries as well as all the bands that followed. Here we go.
You're dead. Ha ha ha. Open your eyes.
The track I played there was 43% Burnt by the Dillinger Escape Plan, which came off their great debut album, Calculating Infinity, which was released in 1999, after a number of EPs were released, and this was the first song I heard by them. They were formed in New Jersey and are currently a 5-piece, but due to numerous issues, they've also had a number of different members, most notably having the original drummer leave and having a new singer in since the second album, although it's not appeared to have diminished either their musicmanship or the craziness of their live shows. I've seen them 3 times, I think, and they're absolutely off-the-wall, batshit insane live, and I can say without a doubt that the first time I saw them was one of the best live experiences I've ever been to. They were playing at the Barfly in Camden, and I think at one point the air conditioning unit had been kicked off the ceiling and was being passed around the mosh pit. Fucking mad. When I heard this album for the first time, it was almost unlistenable and was easily the heaviest thing in my catalogue. It's now one of my favourites and still kicks my ass every time I listen to it. The next track I'm going to play is Carpe Diem by Will Haven, and is the title track of their 3rd studio album, which came out in 2001. They come from Sacramento and are a 6-piece and are headed up by a guy called Grady Avenel, and this is probably their strongest effort, but all their albums are rather good. They broke up in 2002, but regrouped in 2005, and have been making new music since, and they're just very good at heavy, heavy music. So here they are. We'll be right back. The track you just heard was Walk by Pantera, which came off their fantastic sixth album, Vulgar Display of Power, which was released in 92, and is one of the best metal albums of all time, in my opinion. There were a four-piece from Texas who started off playing glam metal and produced some of the most horrific photos of any band I've seen during that period, but when they changed vocalist to Phil Anselmo, they took on a heavier sound which was coined groove metal, and they debuted that sound on their album Cowboys from Hell, but really perfected it on Vulgar Display of Power. The core of the band was Dimebag Darrell, the guitarist, and Vinnie Paul, but when Phil came along, it pushed the music forward into a new realm. Unfortunately, even though I think that Phil has one of the best voices in metal, he was notoriously unstable, which led to the band breaking up in 2003. However, the one thing that probably singularly defined Pantera's sound was Dimebag's unbelievable guitar work. Apart from being a monster riff writer, he was one of the best soloists in the business, and it still makes me sad to talk about him in the past tense. Dimebag Darrell was unfortunately killed on stage by a fan while he was playing in the subsequent band Damage Plan in 2004, and it was a massive blow to the metal community, as we'll never get to hear new riffs by him, but he's left an unparalleled body of work, and we should be thankful for that. The next track I'm going to play is Thor by Converge, which came off their brilliant album Jane Doe, which was their fourth, and was released in 2001. And this is the one that cemented their status as one of the best bands in the scene. I remember getting this album, and it replaced Calculating Infinity as the heaviest thing in my library, and I'd never heard anything like it. I'll admit, it took me a while to get used to the feeling of being absolutely crushed by this album, and it was a while before I truly saw its merits, and now I think it's one of the best albums I own. I mean, it's just a masterpiece. Converge are a four-piece from Massachusetts, and all of their members are great musicians, and I've never been disappointed by any of their albums since Jane Doe, but this is the first track that made me realise that they were much more interesting than just a straight hardcore band.
We'll be right back.
The track that you just heard was Illunis by Rollo Tomassi, which came off their third album, Astraea, which was released in 2012, and is another fantastic release from them. They're from Nottingham, and are headed up by a brother and sister, and they are, for me, one of the most interesting British bands out there. When they first came out, they were lauded by the indie community, and kind of became a mathcore crossover band, no doubt because of the gorgeous clean vocals that Eve Spence does, as well as roaring with the best of them. But over the years, they seem to have been forgotten, which is a shame as they keep growing their sound and it becomes bigger and bigger. Like I said, they really are one of the more interesting and talented bands out there, and we should be doing more to support homegrown talent. Right, I've only got two tracks left. The first one is going to be Rocket Skates by Deftones, which came off their album Diamond Eyes, which was released in 2010, and was their sixth album. I think the first album I listened to was the fantastic White Pony. And to be honest, I don't think they've actually done a bad album. They are a five-piece from Sacramento, who I suppose are definitely in the alternative metal genre. Flitting between heavy stuff and then softer songs, aided mainly by Chino Marino's wonderful vocals. During this album, the bassist, Chi Cheng, was badly injured in the car crash and ended up in a coma that he eventually wouldn't recover from. It's sad to think that there are three artists on this podcast, Jeff Hanneman, Dimebag Darrell, and Chi Cheng, who are not alive, but are still living through their songs. When Diamond Eyes came out, I don't think many people were expecting a lot, but then the Deftones came out with one of their best albums. The riffs are massive, and Chi's voice is better than ever. The guitarist, Stephen Carpenter, is a massive fan of Sugar as well, which kind of brings me to my last track. The last track I'm playing is Dances to a Discordant System by the mighty Meshuggah, which came off their fantastic album, Obzen, which was released in 2008. I am a massive Meshuggah fan, and I've made it my mission to introduce more people to the band. They are a five-piece from Sweden, who formed in 1987 and released their latest album in 2012, but they are my favourite metal band. I used to have drum lessons for about 6 years, which I credit for heightening my love of music, but these guys are on a completely different level. Their distinctive sound comes from their use of polymeters and polyrhythms, which are fancy ways of saying that they change time signatures and they actually play multiple time signatures all at the same time. Even saying that sentence kind of bends my mind. However, while some bands can almost bury themselves in the creation of their own songs and effectively show off how good they are, Meshuggah never seems to desert the underlying groove. So while they're playing like 5/16ths or 17/16 time signatures, they've got a groove of 4/4, which is what you're nodding your head to. Their drummer, Thomas Hark, is an absolute god to me and has been voted the best metal drummer in the world many times over. And I know what he's playing sounds quite simple, but what he's playing and thinking, he's playing and thinking in a completely different way to the way people are normally thought. If you've not listened to Obzen, you should straight away, as it's a great mix between the old far songs and, taking influences from their somewhat proggy sound to make something which is unbelievable. If you've not seen them live, you owe it to yourself, as it's an absolute masterclass of precision and sheer power. I think the reason why I love Meshuggah so much is that they sum up to me why I love metal, because it's not afraid to push boundaries, bend your mind, but ultimately make you want to get in the middle of the pit and shout, fuck yeah. I think that's about it for this metal special. Cheers.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back.